Good morning, Southern California. This is Marty Halfon. You're listening to Let's Talk Real Talk. Today's a special Sunday morning. It's Easter Sunday. It's the third day of Passover. So it's really quite special for all of us. So happy Passover and have a good Easter. Enjoy. It's a very special day. Hopefully it'll be beautiful out there today. And always a wonderful day to go take a look at homes, be outside, enjoy the sunshine, enjoy the weather, and enjoy this Southern California place that we all get to call home. You know, I don't know if you've been reading the newspapers lately, but it's interesting about what's happening in California with all this amazing weather that we have been having. We haven't been having enough rain. And that becomes a real big problem for our landscape, our lifestyle, the quality of life that we all take for granted. And there's a big concern going on. And, you know, even today when you go to restaurants now, you have to ask for water. And, you know, certain cities are regulating certain days that you can water your lawn. You'll get fined. And there are some people. I have a friend of mine, actually, who has a neighbor that will call the city on fellow neighbors if they're watering their lawn on the wrong days. So it's getting a little crazy out there. But one of the interesting things that's happening is, you know, California has always been known for its agricultural aspects. And I had the opportunity to wake an old friend of mine, Mike Myers, up. And Michael, thank you so much. Happy Easter to you. And I hope you have a wonderful day today. I wanted to get you on the air for my listeners because I know how knowledgeable you are about what's going on in the Central Valley. And I think most people don't understand that Southern California or the California Basin for so many years had such a huge agricultural lifestyle, employment, culture that happened in this marketplace. And over the years, because of climate change, over the years, because of the lack of water, you know, if you drive down Highway 5 even, you can see all these signs about water shortage. And I know that you've become somewhat of an expert because of your background. And for all my listeners out there, Mike is an attorney by trade, but a guy with the biggest heart in the world who actually represents a farming family that's been in the industry for many years, from the 50s, the Altadena farm family. And they have been developing their farmland into another product type. And Mike has been spending some time up in the Central Valley and really has become kind of an expert in what's going on the water issue up there. And Mike, why don't you share a little bit about kind of the craziness that's going on and how that's going to affect all of us?
Well, you know, I did not really have a background in California water. And my first experience was we were working with some agricultural land in Northern California, where we decided to plant some almond groves. And one of the things that seemed good about almonds for Northern California is they use a very conservative approach to water usage, which is they run these little rubber tubes down the rows. And we have a configuration that's like 20 or 21 feet in one direction and 14 feet in the other. So you literally every 20 feet or so, you have a little tube that has like a little pinprick that lets out just enough water to water along a straight line. So you're irrigating something like, you know, one out of every 20 feet. So very conservative, very intentional use of water to maximize the yield while minimizing the water usage.
Mm-hmm. So it's basically a drip system, a high caliber drip system for irrigation.
They use a dual line drip or they have a micro system to be very careful because, as you know, there's water issues and we're using groundwater and we want to always be as respectful of the groundwater aquifer as possible, because, you know, we'd like these orchards to be producing for the next couple hundred years. So, you know, when you get into agriculture, especially with a a California environmentally friendly attitude, you want to make sure, first of all, that you're not hurting the environment, and second of all, that you're not hurting your business, that you're going to be able to do what you're doing for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And when we pulled our well permits, we were in the process of an enormous cash expenditure to plant these orchards. We're looking at water and the aquifers that start 300 feet below the ground. And a lot of these aquifers in Northern California are very healthy. And it's ironic because you'll have a 25 or 50 foot aquifer right above where you are that's less healthy. And, you know, a lot of the smaller organic farmers are trying to get water out of these 50 foot aquifers. And, you know, if you've read the news, or, you know, if you're in California and don't live in a cave, you know we're running out of water.
Right.
And these guys with the 50-foot aquifers are watching their wells run dry.
And what is an aquifer?
An aquifer is kind of like an underwater lake. You know, if you think of a river, you know what a river is?
Right.
You see a mountain, water hits the top of the mountain, it goes into some kind of river, it goes along the surface, all the way from there to the ocean. And we like to keep the water level of the river high because there's fish, and we want to make sure that all the fish can get up and down between where they like to go in the ocean and where they like to go upstream to spawn. And that's part of the environmental ecology. And more than 50% of California water is used just to keep the water levels high enough that we can maintain, our aquatic lifestyle and take care of our fish, some of which are edible and part of our food system, and some are just endangered species like the Delta smelt. So to make sure that basically feeding people doesn't mean we jeopardize a potential form of life, we want to be good stewards of the ecology.
Right. And what's happening with the water shortage up in the Central Valley right now?
Well, you have a couple things. First of all, the snowpacks were lighter this year. They have been for the last 4 or 5 years. The temperatures have been higher. And, you know, to the extent that you have, you know, water that's close to the surface and it's hot, it evaporates faster, there's less of it. And you're seeing at the ground level some terrifying things that are very frightening with respect to water.
Mm-hmm. And what was the news about a lot of the agricultural, you know, organizations, farmers out there potentially losing their water rights and potentially having an effect of putting these people out of business because of the politics that are happening?
Well, let me differentiate between groundwater, or surface water that I was just talking about,
right,
and groundwater. So let's say that you're up in the Sierras and you have a point where the water hits the ground and is absorbed into the ground, and so you're talking about something that's a little deeper. So, for example, let's say you have a big layer of shale or some kind of non-porous rock 200 to 300 feet below the surface,
mm-hmm.
and you have water that basically comes in at some point in the mountain area that comes in below that sheet of shale. So you now have, it's just like the surface water, except it's about 300 feet deep.
Right.
And it goes from 300 feet below the mountaintop to 300 feet below the base of the mountain to 300 feet below where we have a farm. So we do an industrial well, something that digs down. We're looking at water at the 500-foot level. So you're looking at a well that costs tens of thousands of dollars more than the kind of well that the average 50-foot organically oriented small farmers using.
Right.
It's a different class of water. It's a different kind of expense. It's a different issue. And for that kind of water, we're in an aquifer that's about a foot below where it was 40 years ago.
Right.
So that kind of water is not endangered now, but, you know, you can't take anything for granted. But you have to look at water recharge and whatever. You know, we don't have, for the 500-foot guys, the kind of problem they have for the 50-footers.
Right.
And with the 50-footers, you're looking at a lot of small farmers that are in big trouble. They're scared. They should be. There's a real problem. And your heart has to go out to these people.
Well, and that was so much part of our culture. I've got to take a break. I want you to stay with me because I want to continue this conversation. This is Marty Halfon. You're listening to Let's Talk Real Talk. You can always reach me at 310-344-4465 or email me at marty@rodeore.com. We'll be right back. Mike, stay with us. We're going to take a quick station break. Good morning, Southern California. This is Marty Halfon. You're listening to Let's Talk Real Talk. Happy Passover. Happy Easter. I hope you guys are out there enjoying today. It's going to be a beautiful day. I know it's early. Get up. I'm sure a lot of you are getting ready to go to church. And again, I hope you have a beautiful day. We're on the phone with my old friend Mike Myers, and we were talking about the Central Valley, the water, the lack of water, you know, how it's affecting agricultural, how it's affecting, actually going to be affecting the food system. Because I guess, Mike, as you were saying, you know, the less water coming in, the productivity of our agricultural system is going to be effective. And that would, I imagine, would drive food cost up, correct?
Well, you know, you have two levels. First of all, you know, everybody, you look at the little farmer that looks like he's about to lose his farm, and that just seems like the biggest issue in the world. And you know,
well, when it's like losing your home. What are you talking about?
The small operations with wells at the 50-foot level, you're going to see a lot of those guys gone. It's, you know,
Well, why can't those guys drill down to a deeper level and tap into the water?
Well, you know, for guys that have a 20 or a 30 or a 10-acre farm, you know, $150,000, $250,000 well.
Well, that's a lot of money.
Out of their range.
Right, right.
So, you know, unfortunately, I really fear for what's going to be the impact on people that like farm fresh type stuff or like organic stuff. You know, to the extent that you're dealing with food from these little guys, you're looking at potentially losing a significant portion of the available land. And you could see a doubling of farm fresh or organic foods. And so, you know, there's a lot of talk about regulating the big guys to help the little guys. And unfortunately, regulation that you do that affects the 300 to 500 foot level isn't even going to protect these guys.
Right.
So while there is a huge groundswell towards a very intelligently articulated problem, they're not even reaching the problem. The bigger problem is for those who can't afford to or don't eat the healthier organic foods, just the regular foods, the big farmers, you're looking at roughly 50% of America's fruit and vegetables coming from the state of California. Can you imagine basically losing 20% of America's vegetable supply because of the water issue? People have not realized how enormous of an issue this is,
right,
in terms of impact on healthy foods.
Right. Well, impact on just how about your pocketbook? Because, you know, when there's a shortage of product, prices go up. Supply and demand, not enough product. I remember when I was in the restaurant business and we had heavy rains. You know, my boxes of tomatoes or my bag, 50-pound bags of onions would shoot up $50 a pound, you know, for a 50-pound bag, or my crate of tomatoes would be like five times that.
You look at what they're proposing with a 25% cutback. To the extent that you don't want to, you know, hurt your fish, so you basically leave 50% of your water or more than 50% of your water, making sure that your fish are not jeopardized, and 5 to 10% of your water, making sure that nobody loses drinking water. So they're looking at taking 25% of all water out of roughly 30% of California's water that goes to agriculture.
Well, I just was watching.
Think of going from 40% to 15%.
That's huge.
You could see a 50% cutback in California agriculture.
Well, I just was watching some information yesterday about a town up in Northern or up in Central Valley, small town, where they haven't had water for over a year, and they're boxes and boxes of bottled water, and they're now bringing in special units to house water, and you know, these kids are complaining. They were interviewing a little girl saying, you know, their friends are complaining because she hasn't taken a shower.
At this point, we drink almost the entire Colorado River. Basically, you know, very little of the Colorado River can go down to the ocean because
we're using it all up.
The Water District diverts it, and we drink almost every drop of it.
Well, that's interesting.
You know, Los Angeles was designed to basically have a sustainable population of about, you know, 800,000 to maybe 2 million people.
Right.
And we have close to 20 million people. And you go to water conferences and you say, well, what should we do? And they said, well, people should just leave Los Angeles. I don't know that that's really going to happen. I don't think 18 to 20 million people are going to leave Los Angeles because
More and more people are coming
to drink Mono Lake and the River.
Well, and interesting enough, more and more people are coming to Southern California. Yeah, because of its lifestyle and the weather conditions, and
you know, people may need to spend a little bit more for water, and you know, nobody knows what $2,300 per acre foot means, but in practical terms, it means your water's going to start costing about a tenth of a penny.
Well, but in reality, look at—I know in my home, and I know any of you homeowners out there, when you get your water bill, it's been going up and up and up and up, and with that, Mike, I want to thank you for taking the time to sharing your knowledge. This is Marty Halfon. You're listening to Let's Talk Real Talk. It's a beautiful Sunday, Easter morning. I hope you guys are having a good time. You can always reach me, Marty, at rodeore.com, or call me directly on my cell phone, 310-344-4465. Again, this is Let's Talk Real Talk, and we'll be right back. Good morning, Southern California. This is Marty Halfon. You're listening to Let's Talk Real Talk. I have a new home listing I want to share with you guys, a new property we put on the market. 9698 Yoakum in Beverly Hills. It's an unbelievable piece of property in about 20,000 square feet, surrounded by oak trees. You're like in a park. If any of you want to take a look at the house, visit 9698yoakum.com. That's YOAKUM.com. 9698yoakum.com. An amazing house that we just put on the market. You feel like you're in a different world. It's kind of a country cottage in the city. But the market still has a shortage of product out there. Prices to me have kind of stabilized. Yesterday I was, before I went out to show some homes, I was noticing a lot of the prices are dropping, which tells me that if it's not priced right, as we always say, it's going to sit. And things that are priced right sell within the first week or two. After that, it just sits and sits and sits until it drops and drops and drops. And the market really tells you where it's at. So the good news is the market's still great. The bad news is there's a shortage of inventory. And, you know, so if you're moving, keep looking. If you're moving, call me, Marty Halfon, at 310-344-4465. I always can help you. A couple days ago, a friend of mine sold a house too. We went to look for beds. And this is something kind of interesting that I want to continue to talk about. But he needed to buy some beds for his new home. And I kind of said to him, you know, why take old beds to a new house? And he started to laugh, but he said, you're right. What is it? You know, if it's over eight, it's time to replace, you know, that sit and sleep kind of commercial. But when we started to investigate about mattresses, I found out that there's all kinds of chemicals, fire retardants, formaldehyde, things they use to kill roaches that they put in our mattresses. And you start to wonder, why are we sleeping on mattresses that are filled with all these potential carcinogenics And I came across this company called Naturepedic on Robertson. And I've got to tell you, I actually bought 3 beds myself, and they're amazing. This is the first time I've actually woken up in the same spot that I fell asleep in. They're organic, 100% cotton. They're organic certified. They're amazing beds, and I definitely would suggest you guys check out Naturepedic. They're at 456 South Robertson Boulevard in Los Angeles. They're really an amazing, they call themselves an organic mattress gallery, but you should definitely take a look at that. Listen, it's time to say goodbye. I've got to get on with my day. I'm going to be out showing some properties. You can always reach me, too, if you want to go look at homes at 310-344-4465. This is Marty Halfon. You're listening to Let's Talk Real Talk. We're here every Sunday. I'm here to help you answer your questions about real estate, about buying, selling, remodeling, investing. Happy Easter. Happy Passover. Have a wonderful day. And again, thanks for all the wonderful emails I've been getting. This is Let's Talk Real Talk. Marty Halfon. We will see you and talk to you next week.